Okay, says the Mishnah. And daf tesvav and beis chamisha tamin v'chamisha mu'adim. Okay, we'll have to see in the Gemara what are the chamisha mu'adim. The chamisha tamin are very clear. There's no controversy what the chamisha tamin are. Behema and mu'edes for five things: lo ligach to gore, lo ligof to push with its head or body, lo lishov to bite, lo lirbot to sit or lie down on something and break it, lo livot or to kick. These are all toldos of, I mean, the first one is the av, and the rest are toldos of keren. Hashem mu'edes lechol is a roi lot, right? Eating something fit for eating is shein. Regel mu'edes l'shmor b'derech hibucha, that's obviously regel. V'shor ha'mu'ad, we'll have to see what that means. Certainly the pshat shor mu'ad means a gourd three times, like in the Chumash. V'shor mazik rishos ha'nizak, and if the shor is mazik in the rishos of the nizak, the simple pshat is this, like where we tar from later on in the second parak, that keren rishos ha'nizak is mu'ad, even if it's the first time. V'ha'adam. Adam is mu'ad li'olam, right? And basically all these things will be explained in the coming Mishnayos, right? The next parak is Ketzad Regel, Ketzad Regel, Ketzad Hashem, Shor Mu'ad Ketzad, Shor Mazbrus Niza Ketzad, V'ha'adam mu'ad li'olam. All these are the topic of the second parak. Hazeh v'ari v'adov v'anomir v'habardalos. All these things. Namir pashtus means some sort of leopard. And bardalos, we will have to see what it means. Even before we get there, so what's pshat in bardalos? So Tosas points out in Sanhedrin that there seem to be two different bardaloses in Shas, which have nothing to do with each other. One of which is some sort of pest, and one of which is a dangerous animal. To the best of my knowledge, almost everyone agrees with Tosos. The bardalos mentioned in other places is a marten, M-A-R-T-E-N, which is, I don't know how to describe it, but it's some small animal that is not dangerous. And the bardalos here is either a leopard or a hyena. Leopards and hyenas are not very close together, but they're somewhat similar. Leopard is from the big cats. Hyenas is from some family that has some characteristic in common with the big cats, but it's not, obviously. So it's either some leopard or hyena. We would think, if we already mentioned the namir, bardalos is more likely to be a hyena. That's what the Rambam says in Parashat Mishnayos here. We use an Arabic word, which, if I trust Rav Kafa, means a hyena. So the although we'll see, there is another shita, though. The some of the Bali Tosos, not on the page here, suggest that that the Talmud Rinu Tam and others that a bar and the Meiri that a bardalus is a kind of snake. Why a kind of snake? The Gemara calls it an apa, and they connect apa to efe. Now aleph pei aleph to aleph pei ayin hey is a stretch, without any lumpness, what bardalus is bardalus. So we have a marten. But that seems to be in the other sugyas, right? It seems to be true. There's two different, word bardalus means different thing in different sugyas. In our sugya, it means either a leopard or a hyena, which will often call the same thing because they're both spotted or striped. They both spotted. I mean, hyenas can be striped, spotted, or not. But apparently their hyenas in those days were spotted. That's why it's called savua, colored, meaning spotted. Everything has a color. Savua means spots. And pashas, I would pick hyena, which is what the Rama picks, because leopard's already covered. Rambam in the Perusha Mishnah. And then there's many in the Bali Tosos say it's some sort of snake based on Efe. That's in the Meiri here. And the Talmud Rabbi Tam and others. The pashtus, that's not pashtus pshat. Efe and apa are probably not the same. Pashtus, a leopard or hyena in the dangerous sugyas, and a marten in the pest sugyas. And here it would be more likely to say hyena, just because a leopard is a number. Number is not a type. So let's go on. Obviously, there'll be a whole sugya later on about what a bardalus is, but it won't use any words that we know what they mean. So all those things, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Tarbatan, if they are domesticated, right, they are tamed, then they're not muad, meaning these animals, they're tamed, are just like sheep and cows. Nachash Mulilim, except for the Nachash, you can never trust that Nachash, right, from the beginning of the Chumash, straight through. However tame the Nachash looks, it's not trustworthy. Okay. Midikatani, Hashem, Mu'edes, Lechol, Michal, Bechatzar, Nizuk, Askinan. Since the Shein is Mu'edes Lechol, Shein is Mu'edes Lechol obviously means and Chayev. How is it Chayev? It's Chayev if it's in Chatzar and Nizuk. We know Shein is part of Mishnah Sarabim. So our Mishnah must be talking about Chatzar and Nizuk. Midikatani, Behena, Einu, Mu'edes, Shalim, Kule, Valchatzi, Nezuk, Shalim. But then it says it's not Mu'edes, Ligach, etc. Karen doesn't pay the full price. So in Chatzar and Nizuk, Karen doesn't pay the full price. Maybe we haven't been ma'ayin in this machlokas, but we know the machlokas of Rabbi Tarfon and Chachamim in the second parak. What about Karen b'chatzar aniza? Rabbi Tarfon says, nezek shalim, Chachamim say chatzi nezek, so it's obviously chatzi nezek. Exists in chatzar aniza, and you're not muad for Karen. Mani rabbonu hita, amri mishunah Karen b'chatzar, meaning even mishunah things, which are Karen, in chatzar aniza, chatzi nezek gudim shalim. But ima seifa, the seifa is before Rabbi Tarfon. Shor muad v'shor mazik v'shos aniza, v'ha adam, Sharmaz Rishon Nizak pays full, is Mu'ad, Asan Rabbi Tarfon. That's explicitly Rabbi Tarfon. Number Rishon Akarim, Bechatzar Nizak, Nezak Shalom, and the Mishalim. Reish, Rabbanim, Sefer Rabbi Tarfon. And here, the Gemara gives like five explanations for the Mishnah. So what's the first one? In Da'amrali Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shimna Shvok Masnisa V'Sav Asrai, leave the Mishnah, meaning not leave the Mishnah, but leave the Pshat of the Mishnah, and follow me. Reish, Rabbanim, Sefer Rabbi Tarfon. Apparently, this is a general thing, Mahalach of Shmuel, not only here, that it's perfectly fine to split the Mishnah into two different opinions, and even though that's leaving the Pashim Shad of the Mishnah, because you wouldn't expect it to be written that way, that is acceptable. Okay, that solves the problem. Not everyone likes this Mahalach, though. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shadi Rabbah, Rabbi Kulam, Rabbi Tarfon, he, Reish, Abachatz, Rabbi Chedis, Leperus, Le'echa, Mehem, V'lazev, V'lazev, L'shvarin, Delegabe, Shein, Havya, La, Chatz, or Hanizo, Gelabe, Karen, Havya, Rishas, Rabbah. Okay, so if we just, let's try to figure out, put this on the board, even though it's not Lomdish, just Pashup Shat. Here we have the Reisha, here we have the Seifa. The Reisha implied, remember, the Shein part implied was Chatzar Nizak, and then the Karen part implied that it's only Chatzi Nezek, right? So, that based on Alpi, Shein plus Karen, we come out with Karen Bechatzar Hanizak Mishalem Chatzinezek. The Seifa is Mefurish, that Karen Bechatzar Hanizak Mishalem Nezek Shalem. How do you deal with this? So one answer is Shmuel. Shmuel says the Reisha is Chachamim, and the Seifa is very Tarfon, and that's acceptable. Okay, according to Shmuel. The second answer is Rabbi Elazar Mishmei Rav. He says, no, there are two different kinds of reshuyos. And this is going to remind us of the Gemara had earlier, Daf Yudalev and Aleph, and we had the same two gersos of Rashi and Tosos that we had there, as Tosos points out in the beginning of Dir Maskel Kula. There's different kinds of reshus anizaks. The Seifa is a normal reshus anizak. It's all Rabbi Tarfon, right? This is Rabbi Tarfon, and this is Rabbi Tarfon, and this is a normal Rishos HaNizak. Normal Rishos HaNizak for Rabbi Tarfon, you pay Nezek Shalom. What's the Risha? Remember, Al Pishein has Rishos HaNizak, so he says it is, again, for Rashi's Gersa, it would be Lazev Lazev. If you remember that Tosas had a Gersa, that Lo Lazev, Lo Lazev, but we're not going to chazer that now. It was a case where it was for both of them or none of them. For Shvarim, but only one of them for Peros. So this is a case was Miyuchad Le'echad Mehem Le'Peros Ule Shnehem O Afechad Mehem Le'Shvarim, which means that for Peros it's Chasar Nizak, which was Shane pays Nezek Shalem, but for Shvarim, both for them are equal, it's Rishas HaRabin. If so, this equals Rishos HaRabim Le'inyan Shvarim, meaning Karen. And that's why it's no steer. Rishos HaRabim, everyone agrees Chatzin Ezek. Okay, wonderful. That is the second shot. The Gemara attacks this. Amr of Gahana, Risa, Shmaite, Kamadir, Zviv, Minar, Dov, Armelim, Batsas, Mukhmas, Lokulu, Gari, Tarfon. Have you say it's a retarfon? We have another diuk, it's not a retarfon. The Katani, Hakatani, Hashem, what is Lechel's Horoila? The Diak is the Shane only Muad, only pays Nezek Shalim for something fit for it to eat. Raila in Shein Raila lo. But if it eats something not fit for it to eat, like the more Mishnah says later on, Ksuso Kalim, right? If it eats clothing or utensils, then it wouldn't pay. It would only pay Chatzi Nezek, because that's Mishunah, and that would be Keren. That shows the E Rabbi Tarfon Mishunah Keren Bechatzi Nezek Nezek Shalom Mishalim. So it can't be. They reject this because, according to Rabbi Tarfon, since it's Miochad for only one of them for objects, then even if it's your clothing, it should pay Nezek Shalim. But the Diyuk is only Chatzi Nezek, so it can't be. So next shot is Elo the Olam. Who's talking here? I guess Rav Zvid, right? Elo the, we don't know, Rav Zvid or someone, but Ikvot Rav Zvid. Elo the Olam, Rabbanan Huahi, V'chasura Mechzer V'hachik Tanit Rabbanan, and this is what it's supposed to say, Hamisha Tamenheim, V'im Huadu Hamishtan Muadin. Okay, first we'll read it like our verse of Rashi. I don't know if you read the Rashi or you noticed there's parentheses at a certain point, like some of the lines are a little hard to read because there's Madur Kam, Madur Basra, as the Shem Gretz explains a few. Got a chance to look at it, so let's just look at this for one moment. He says no. We were assuming, what were we assuming? What are the Chamisha Mu'adim? What did we assume until now were the Chamisha Mu'adim? Pashtus. Right? All of a sudden now we're saying Kesura Mesra. What did we think until now were the Chamisha Mu'adim? L'chor we thought Shein, Regel, Shor Mu'ad, Shor Mazik, Rishus Nizak, and Adam. Right? So, Shein, Regel, Muad, Birshus Nizak, and Adam. Right? That's what we're assuming until now. Now we want to change that because we want to say these aren't all things on the list. Right? We want to say they're just explanations. If these aren't all things on the list, what are the five? So according to most Rishonim and Rashi as printed, which is Matur Basra, what are the five? It says, Chamisha Tamin, Huadu Chamishta Muadim. The Chamisha Tamin, the Chamisha Muadim are the Chamisha Muadim if they're Huad. Negicha, Neshicha, Revitza, Beita, and the one that, Negifa. Right? So, according to three, which is, you know, we don't know if they're talking or someone talking based on Revzvid, what are the five things? The five things are Negicha, Negifa, I forget the order, but I hope you'll forgive me, Neshicha, and Beita. Im Huad for those five things. Those are the five Mu'adim. Are the same five things. Then the next line is a new part of the Mishnah. What's the new part of the Mishnah? It says, where am I? Elo Marina Chosur Mechzav HaHakitani Chamisha Tamehim Huadu Chamishtan Mu'adim V'Shein V'Regel Mu'adim Tchilasa. And then Shein V'Regel Happily Mu'adim Tchilasa. V'Zeo Shoram Mu'ad. No, sorry. Not up to there yet. Shein V'Regel Mu'adim Tchilasa. V'Heichan HaDasan. B'Chatzar HaNizak. Shein V'Regel are two things. But there's no three and four. What does it mean? Shor ha-muad v'shor ha-mazik v'shos nizak? Shein v'regel are muad. V'shor ha-muad v'shor ha-mazik v'shos nizak. When are shein v'regel muad? Only if they're v'shos nizak. And then adam and etc. Okay, so that is, then he's saying it's no problem. The reisha is taka the chachamim. And the seifa is also the chachamim. And the shor ha-mazik Birshos Nizak is not talking about Tarfon Shita that Karen Birshos Nizak Nezik Shalim. It's talking about Shein V'Regel, and it's not a new thing on the list, which is why he had to change what the list was. It's just an explanation of Shein V'Regel and Taka. After these five things, there are only three things listed: Shein Regel, detail of Shein V'Regel, when is it Muad B'Chatzar and Nizak, and Adam. Okay, that is B'Ikvot Rav Zvid. But then we have Maskev La Ravina, Hakatani Lakam and Shor Mazik Rishos Nizak Ketzad. But it says, I told you already, the second parak is merely an elucidation of this Mishnah. Right? Ketzad Regel, Ketzad Hashem, Shor Muad Ketzad, Shor Mazik Rishos Nizak Ketzad. It says explicitly in the second parak, Shor Mazik Rishos Nizak Ketzad is Karen Rishos Nizak, which Machlok Zer Tar from the Chachamim. You can't say it's talking Shame for Regel. Bish, Yama, Rishloma Ayri, Bamisham Hakatani Ketzad. If you say that's what we're talking about now, then that's why it says Ketzad later. If you say we're not talking about Karen Rishos Nizak, my Ketzad, why is it saying a Ketzad and explaining it in the second parak? Elam Ravina, nope, Kisuri Mechzera. V'hachi katani, says Ravina, finally. Kishore Mesher v'hachi katani, he starts out similar. Kamisha tamahim v'hua du chamishta mu'adim. So, okay, just put the same thing. Also, the five water are the five tamen, not the five things listed afterwards. Why? Because, let's just review, only three other mu'adin, according to Rav's vid, which are Shane, Regel, and Adam. Because sure, mu'adin, sure, mu'adin, just these are just one explanation of Shane, Regel. According to Ravina, the five are mu'adin of the five tamen, and then there's only four other mu'adin. What are the four other mu'adin? Let's see. El Ravina Chasir Master Hakitani Chamisha Tamehim Yehudu Chamisha Mu'adim V'Shein V'Regel Mu'adim Mitchilasan V'Zehu Shoram Mu'ad V'Shein V'Regel and Zehu Shoram Mu'ad. Shoram Mu'ad was already covered by something else. V'Shoram Mazik V'Shus Hanizak Machlokes V'Ritarfong V'Rabbanan V'Yesh Mu'adim Achirim Kayotze V'Elu Azef Ari V'Adov V'Bardlos V'Namer V'Hanachash. What does he say? He said the Reisha is the Chachamim, and the Seifa, the Reisha is the Chachamim, and what are the other four? They are Shane, or I wouldn't even say four, I would say three and a half, right? What do I mean by this? Only three and a half. Shane Varegel, Machlokes, and Shor Hamazik, Birshos Nizak and Adam. Right? So it's saying there are five Tamim and five Mu'adim, and then there are two things that are for sure Mu'ad. One thing that's Machlokes, one thing is for sure Mu'ad. And what is Vishor HaMu'ad? What is Vishor? Vizel Shor HaMu'ad. And Shor HaMu'ad is already covered, and then there are the other animals. What do we mean Vishor HaMu'ad means? What does Vishor HaMu'ad mean according to Ravina? So here, Ravina, this is the Chachamim, and this is, and this adds Machlokes Chachamim Rabbi Tarfon, meaning the Stam Mishnah is like Chachamim, and then later it points out there's Taka Machlokas between Chacham and Rabbi Tarfon. If you had said that Chamisha Tamin and Chamisha Mu'adin is Chamisha Tamin of the Reisha and Chamisha Mu'adin of the Seifa, then it would all have to be one Tam. But now we say Chamisha Tamin, Chonesh Mu'adim are all Negicha, Negifa, Neshicha, Ravitza, Be'ita. And then the Mishnah is throwing in other things also. Then it can throw in a machlokas, and it doesn't have to be only according to one Tana. And that's why he has to say, Chisor Master V'Hachi Katana. You can't say Chamisha Tam and Chamisha Mu'adim are the Chamisha Tam, part of them are according to the Chacham, and part of them are machlokas, Chacham, and Tarfon. You say Chamisha Tam and Chamisha Mu'adim are only the Reisha. And then they throw in these other things. Okay, then they can throw in a machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon, and the. Then they can throw in a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim, excuse me, the Agav, just, what is Shor Ha, what does Zehu Shor HaMu'ad mean according to Ravina? What is Zehu Shor HaMu'ad? So, here, Shor HaMu'ad is an intro, is the bridge between Shein V'Regel and Rishos Nizak, right? According to Ravzid, right? Shein V'Regel is only chai Rishos Nizak. What's the bridge? When is Shein V'Regel Mu'ad Rishos Nizak? What does Shor HaMu'ad mean here, according to Ravina? Vizehu Shor HaMu'ad. Shor HaMu'ad is already mentioned. What was Shor HaMu'ad that was already mentioned? So here we have a machlokas between Rashi and the Ravid here. Rashi says it means Shein V'Regel. Shein regular Mu'ad, and that sure that's Mu'ad. Ah, that's not the only sure Mu'ad. No, that's the sure that's always Mu'ad. Because Karen's not always Mu'ad, only sometimes Mu'ad. And the Ravid says, no, Negicha, Negifa, Vichuli, Imhuad. No. And we said five Tamin and five Mu'adim. And the five Mu'adim are Negicha, Negifa, Neshicha, Revitza, Be'ita, that was Mu'ad. And that's Shor Mu'ad that's mentioned in the Torah. So for the Ravid, this is Shor Mu'ad in the Torah, the Negicha, etc., that was done three times. For Rashi, it's saying, this is Shor Mu'ad that's Mu'ad mitzilaso, Shein V'Regel. Okay, that is the.
The Ravid is four and a half.
What?
The
So for the Ravid, it's taka 4.5 because it's repeating. You're right, because it's repeating. Correct. For the Ravid, it's 4.5 because Shor Muad is not Shein and not Regal and not Adam and not Tormazim Rishos Nisa. Good point. Okay, Rashi Madur Kama is quoted here. We have this. Where's Rashi hint of Madur Kama, where he says V'lo garas chadet dechamisha tznan. Right, Rashi says Hachi Garcina and Ravina. Maskla Ravina Hakatani the Kama Shor Mazim Rishos Nisa Ketzad V'lo garas chadet dechamisha tznan. Obviously, there's other girsa called Chada. Excuse me. Sorry. Chada de Chamisha Tnan. I'll just briefly mention, according to Rashi Madur Kama, he reads this totally differently. He reads this very differently. He says that. How are we going to put Rashi Madur Kama? Here. Rashi Madur Kama equals blue. He says no. No one thinks the five are Negicha, Negifa, Ravitza, Be'ita, and Neshicha. No one thinks that. That's not a possibility. Rather, what did Ravzvid, or whoever's talking based on Ravzvid, think were the five? The five Muadim were Negicha Bechuli Shehuad is the first. I mean, all five of those count as one. Not five of those count as five. This is Chzur Mechzur, all five count as one. Shein counts as the second. Regel counts as the third. Shor HaMuad and Shor Mazim Rishos Nizuk are just explanation of Shein for Regel. And Adam counts as the fourth. And if you say that's a stupid shot because there's only four, not five, that's exactly Ravina's question. Makes you wonder what Ravzvid was thinking. Or maybe it was someone else who was not so smart who was thinking. Right? We don't know if Ravzvid gave the answer, just asked the question. And that's why Ravina asked there's only four. Right? But the problem is there's only four. And that's why Ravina gave his shot. What's Ravina's shot? Negicha v'chuli is one. Shein is two, Regel is three. Vizel Sharmua doesn't count because it's Zehu, it's something that's already been covered. Bershus Nizak is a machlokes, counts as four, even though it's only a half. And Adam counts as five. Okay, so a different way of counting the five. That's Rashi in the Mahadur Kama. Okay, it's interesting. You go back and forth. The Shidu Govetzes, whoever's talking exactly there, has reasons he likes Mahadur Kama, has reasons not to like it. I think we're going to say that's enough of the Shaklotari for now and move on. Let's just move on to one point. The Gemara then has, where are we? Here we are. Tanami Hachi, Chamisha Tamen Hain, Vimhuadu Chamisha Muadim, Vishem Bering Amon Tiflasan, Vizehu Shar Muad. That's great for Ravina. Vizehu Shar Muad, Vishar Maz, Vishani, Machlok, Shuta from the Chabarabanan, very explicit like Ravina. Vish Muad of Achim, Kayuts Ve'elu, Hazeva Ari, Vadova, Namur, Vabardos, Vam Nachash. Ika Dramalu Mirma. Some people ask a question not based on anything we've said until now, based on the very end of the Mishnah. There's five muads. How can you say there's five muads? Remember, what do we think at first the five muads are? Shein, Regel, Muad, you know, Keren Muad, obviously, I mean. There's just a Nizak and Adam. How can you say there's five muad? Aren't there also the Chayos Rose? Va'ika Zeva Ari Vadova, Noor Vapardos Vanachash. Umishani, Amravina, Shur Mechser, Vahakitani, Hamisha Taman, Hemihuadu, Hamisha Muadim, Vashem Bering Muadim, Kalasam, Zeo Shur Muad, Shur Mazm, Shasnizak, Machloj, Tarim, Rabbani, Yishmon, Machem, Kyotsbe, Lazeva, Rivadova, Norman, Bartles, Hanachash. Some people get to Ravina, forget the blue. Let's stick with Rashi, Madur, Basra, and Rov Rishonim. Remember, at first, the first two Pshatim held the five were Shem Regel, Muad, Shasnizak, and Adam. The next two Pshatim held the five were Negicha, Negifa, Rivitza, Ve'ita, and the rest of it was not counted five anymore. Says, how can you think we're counting five, Shein, Regel, etc.? Then we should have gone on into the count and counted 11 for Zeva, Nomer, or at least 6 for Zeva, Nomer, Ariva, Dova, Bardalus. So rather, it must be the five or the Reisha, Negicha, Negicha, Negicha. There is no count later in the Mishnah. And that supports Ravina. Okay, Agav, why did these two shut and think? How did they count the five? Right? How could they say these are the five? Why didn't they count the wild animals? So, okay, there are lots of answers. The Rabbi Pirush Mishnai suggests we don't count the wild animals because they're not common. They're not commonly found in human habitation, so therefore we don't count. I mean, they're found in the forest, but no one owns them, right? That's not mazik. So we don't count them. or alternatively, you could say, we don't count them because they're already counted. They're either, according to Tosos, they're always shein v'regel. According to others, they're always carried. According to Tosos, at least, they're always shein v'regel, so they're already counted. So there are other reasons you could say why, you know, how would the first Shtratim answer this question? Either they wouldn't, those Shtratim are wrong, or they would say that they're not counted because they're not common, or they're not counted because they're shein v'regel, according to Tosos. Okay, fine. Let's continue. V'lo l'rbotz, amr b'yulazer, lo shan or l'pachim gedolim. When is it not muad? When is it not the normal derech of regel for an animal to squash kalim pachim gedolim, pachim katanim? Or that's normal. An animal has to sit, has to stand to break a big barrel by sitting on it. That's weird. That's mishuna. But to break small kalim by sitting on them, no, that's just normal life. We all do that sometimes. Or chayu. It says before, to walk normally and to squash people and animals in Caleb. So that shows that it's muad to squash Caleb. Our Mishnah said it's not muad to squash Lirboats. Must be. Big Caleb, not muad. Small Caleb, normal. No, that's not a proof. Who says that's talking about squishing underneath it, which is what Rilla is talking about? That's talking about squishing it on the side, like when it walks by a narrow alleyway, that it's squished on the side, and that has nothing to do with Rabbi Elazar. Ika da Amri. Amr of Lazar, Tame of Hakim Dolom, with love Orchid, Hakim Dun, Orchid, Hale, Philip Hakim Tanam, Nam, and Lev Orchid, who? Just a mirror image. Even Hakim Tanam is not normal to sit on. Meis Fe Elamach, so Adam and Sebehemus at Kalim. Ah, it shows it is normal to squish Kalim, and it must be small ones. Amr of Lazar, Dun, and Sad. No, that means to squish it on the side in a narrow alleyway, but it's never normal, according to the Shabbat of Lazar, to squish by sitting on it. Ikadormile Mirma, some people start now with a reluz with the steeratanam, a little liberals with tanan tanya mach, so it's like bamus akalim. It says it's not muad liberals. Then it says is muad to squish kalim. I'm reluz of a kasha kamakondolum kam pachim katanim. Okay, here you have a big issue in Pesach, which we're not going to get into. It's sort of there's three lashonos, but one and three are the same, saying that it's muad to sit on small kalim. Two is saying it's not muad. What's the lashon of basra here? How do you paskin? Okay, Ayin and the Rush and others. Let's go back to the most interesting part of our Mishnah. So, Hazev, Ha'ari, etc. Okay, first let's deal with what a Bardos is before we get into the actual Lumbus. I know I already put on the board, but let's see the board's discussion, which will be not as enlightening as we hope. My Bardos, Amr Yehuda, it's a Nafrizah. Apparently they were confused what a Bardos was. So the answer is it's a Nafrizah. Why were they confused what a Bardos is and not confused what the other ones are? I don't know, either it was less common word, maybe it was a Greek word and the others were Hebrew words, or, according to the Talmud Bein Tam here, Tosfos on Hedrin and others, that in Shas there are different bardalases. There's the marten bardalas and the hyena or leopard bardalas, right? There's the dangerous bardalas and the pest bardalas. I mean, martens are also, they're dangerous to birds. They can eat your doves and such, but they're not, you know, they're not dangerous animals like these other ones. They're not wild animals. So it could be that's why they're confused, because there are different things called bardalas, and for reasons that I'm not an expert enough in language. Okay, so anyway, it's a nafrizah. My nafrizah, but they didn't know what nafrizah meant. Or else if it's an apa, which again is why some Rishonim say it's an efe, and they have other proofs also, because gehat sivonim is the targum. It translates the snake. Although again, that's most people assume not that way. Meisver, okay, so it's an apa. Great, now we know it's an apa. Meisver, Meir Mer Afat Savua, Remeir and Savua to the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Mer Afanachash, which is, we're not discussing yet. For Amr of Yosef Tzuzu Apa, Savua is an apa. So if Bardalus is an apa, how can Remeir add Savua, which is an apa? It's already there. So the answer is Lokashi Kam Tzavua Zachar, Kam Tzavua Nekeva. No problem, one is Savua Zachar, one is Savua Nekeva. The Tanya, as we know from our Braisa, Tzavua Zachar, L'achar Sheva Shanim Nasa Atalif, a Tzavua Zachar, after 7 years, becomes a bat, Atalif L'achar Sheva Shanim Nasa Arpad, a bat after 7 years becomes a bat. It's pretty clear that, I think Arpad in modern Hebrew might be a vampire, right? But it doesn't seem to be that that's what they meant. I haven't seen the Mepharshim say that's what they meant here. Atalif and Arpad are different kinds of bats. I mean, they're probably... I didn't even know. I'm going to say there's probably 1,000 species of bats. Probably some scientists told me there's 10,000 species of bats. I have no idea. But there's tons of different kinds of bats. So, again, I don't know what an atalif is versus an arpad, but they're kinds of bats. Arpad achashav zayin sham nasa kimosh, a thorn. Kimosh achashav sham nasa choach, a thorn. Okay, there are many different kinds of thorns, so I'm not familiar enough to know. Choach achashav sham nasa shade. And then finally, it becomes, after 7 years, a demon. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with our sugya? So, here Rashi has two pshatim. Maybe we'll just stick with Rashi here. Which is Rav Meir talking about, and which is the Mishnah talking about, right? If we have in the Gemara here. Here, the Mishnah said, Bardulas, which means Appa. And Rav Meir, Mosif, Savua. Which is the Mishnah, and which is Rav Meir Mosif? So Rashi's first shot is, the Mishnah is saying a Zohar, and Rav Meir adds even a, Nikeva. And Rav Meir adds a Nikeva. The Mishnah is saying a Zohar, so the Mishnah is Bardolos, which is Nafrizah, which is Appa, which is Tavua. And Rav Meir adds a Nikeva. Okay, why would he add a Nikeva? So they suggest, we see the Zohar is like super bad because it turns into these things and it's very wild. Not only that, the Rishalmi says that sometimes the Zohar is as tough as a lion. Okay, so the Zohar, in many species, the Zohar is tougher than the Nikeva. And the Chor, why are we bringing these things? To show how bad the Zohar is, right? The Zohar is so bad that it turns into all these things. So Zohar, suppose Zohar is like super evil. Again, the Rishalmi doesn't bring these things. It just says, suppose Zohar is really, really strong. Pamishu kashika ari. Okay, the Rishalmi is more rational here. It says, okay, suppose Zohar is really, really tough. Tzavua Nikeva, so, you know, Nish Kleinekite, it's also a wild animal. So Rav Meir adds a Nikeva, Beseder. But over here we seem to say Zohar, and why are we bringing this thing? Zohar is very bad, as we've proven from this strange Agata that it turns into demons. And Nikeva is not as bad, because it doesn't turn into anything. Okay, I'm adding a few words to Rashi, but that seems reasonable enough, and he says that's why Tzavua Zohar has so many names, because it turns into things. Rashi's second shot is that no, the Mishnah had Nikeva, and Rav Meir adds a Zohar. Why does Rav Meir have to add a Zohar? And he thinks that's the Iker. Because since a Zohar turns into so many things, we wouldn't have known that it's like a regular animal. Right? Now, I'm not sure what we would have thought. We would have thought it's not so wild, because it doesn't turn into so many things. But it just says, because it's Mishtana Labiria Cheris, he needed to add it. It's not so clear what the Svara is, right? So here, Nikeva is obviously... the Bardulus. Why? Because it's called Appa, and Appa is called Nafza, and Nafza is called Bardulus. Here, no. It's not obvious that this is meant by Bardulus. Why? Because this is a weird thing. This is like a million things. It's a shade and a chobach, so it's not clear it's meant by Bardulus. So therefore, Meir had to add it. Rashi doesn't tell us the Svara, so why would we have thought it wasn't included in the Mishnah? Okay, maybe it's not that the Tanakh and Kama disagreed in Din, just that Rav Meir had to add it. Okay, so it could be, I don't know, for Rashi. I haven't seen everyone discuss it. Maybe we hear the Nachlos in Din. The first chat says, the Tanakh and Kama says Zohar, which is like super evil. And Rav Meir argues in Din, says the cave is also bad.
Maybe because there's no possibility of Neitarbut in the Mishnah.
You mean sort of the other side. Efsher, okay. So let's leave it at that. Again, there's clearly something strange going on here agadically. Why does this hyena turn into all these things? We don't necessarily know a scientific mechanism for this. Right in the days of the Achronim, some of them said, well, we compare it to caterpillars, etc. There are things that change. There are things that change, right? Would you ever think the caterpillar is the butterfly? But we don't know that hyenas change into bats and then into thorns and thistles and then into demons. So unclear. But again, if we say it's a hyena, we know that hyenas have a reputation of being very bold and very cunning and evil creatures, right? Like in The Lion King. Right, that's what it's called? Yeah, okay. I need to bring the young people here. It's a movie, it's a kid's movie from when my kids were little. Now, that's for your grandchildren.
Started in London.
What?
Started in London.
Okay, so the hyenas are very evil, no?
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently, what it's trying to say here is that, ultimately, evil... and let's think about this. Animals are clearly higher life forms than birds, right? And birds are clearly higher life forms. I know, let me call it a bird like in the Chumash. Are clearly higher life forms than plants. And plants are clearly higher life forms than demons, which are not physical at all, which are just pure, you know, evil spirits. So maybe what it's trying to say here is that if you have evil, evil naturally degrades. Evil naturally degrades. And, you know, sort of has no kiyum. The world ultimately has kiyum for good things, and bad things gradually get less and less real and less powerful, and maybe that's what's being hinted at here, but I admit that I have not fully plumbed the depths of the transformations of the tzavua. So now let's go to another sentence, which is very fascinating here. Shidro shel adam lachar sheva shanim naseh nachash. A man's spine after 7 years, after he dies. I wonder if that was also after he dies, right? Maybe that was also after he dies. How come we don't see hyenas turning into, I don't know, maybe when they die. But after 7 years turns into a snake, v'hani mili d'lokar v'modim, if he did not bow at modim. So here, this seems sort of more relevant to our lives. Hopefully we all bow at modim, so we're beseder. But there are two questions here. Number one is, what is the punishment? What does this punishment mean? So here, Tosus has two deus what the punishment means. You know what? I can safely... Oh, yeah. Can you get the board, please? Tosus has two deus on the base what the punishment means. His first dea is, what's so bad about your spine turning into a snake? What are Tosus' two deus? The first dea is... What's so bad about turning into a snake? The first dea is, it's a gnai. It's a gnai for part of your body to turn into a snake, right? None of us want part of our body to turn into a snake. So the punishment is a gnai bialma. And Tosfos says, that's mishtaber. You didn't bow at modim, is a small sin, right? People do much bigger aviras than that. All right, you didn't bow at modim, is a small sin, so you get a small punishment. What's a small punishment? The gnai of turning into a snake. But it doesn't actually hurt you. Right? You're dead already. Right? It doesn't hurt you. It's just, you know, it's embarrassing for part of your body to become a snake. The second day in Tosfos says that, and it's beforeished this way in the Zohar as well, that no, it's a very serious punishment. Because the Medrash says there's a luz bone at the bottom of the spine, which is what makes your body last until Tchias HaMesim, and Tchias HaMesim is built from that. Right? Like, as long as we're mentioning movies, right? Jurassic Park. I haven't seen it. I'm pretty sure that I know the plot line. Someone found old dinosaur DNA in a bone someplace and used technology, which is not so crazy. We can't do it now. It's not so crazy. To make new dinosaurs. I'm pretty sure. Is that what happened in the movie? Okay, good. So that's the Luz bone. How are you going to come through Tchias HaMesim? What do you mean? Where's your DNA? Yeah, I mean, Tchias HaMesim, Hashem will figure out how to take a little bit of DNA and clone a person from it. Not so crazy, right? But where do you get the DNA? Oh, well, dig up all the luz bones, because the luz bones last a long time. Okay, the luz bone becomes a snake. Now you know the luz bone, there's no tchis ha-mesen, and no chelik olam haba. Right, that's it. He karis tikaris and efshahi avonaba. And then Tosfos says he doesn't like that second shot, even though it's before in the Zohar. Forced in the Zohar that anyone's not karib amodim, and no come tchis ha-mesen, like the second shot of Tosfos. The Tosfos says he doesn't like that shot because it doesn't make sense. It's a small avera to not bow and modim. Why do you get a big punishment? You should have to do a big avera to lose your chelik in olam haba. OK, Seems like a reasonable question. Let's come back to that in a, or let's
it's not about it, it's what it implies.
Aha, okay, great. So that's obviously going to be the answer. Right? Let's just mention, what is the Shidro Nase Nachash? One shot is a Gnai, two shot, the second shot is Einot Kam. Tosfos asks, why such a big punishment for not bowing at Modim? So I think the answer is going to be clear. That the sin is two different sins, according to... It's not just the punishment, two different punishments. It's looking at the sin in two different ways. What's the Gnai? The Gnai is for not bowing at Modim. You're supposed to bow at Modim. There's lots of good reasons why you're supposed to bow at Modim. And if you don't do it, you deserve a Gnai. Right, so I think really, what Morty, you're saying, they're not just arguing about the punishment, they're arguing about the sin. Right? Here, what's the Avera? Here, no, we're talking about the technical Avera. Technical Avera is not bound to Modim. I know it's an Avera, maybe just a bit of a say. An Asay Midrabanan, you know, a detail of an Asay Midrabanan. Okay, so you get a Gnai for that. But over here, what Morty says is that no, the Eino Kam T'Chias HaMeisim, which Tosfos rejects, but is Mefurash in the Zohar, it's not because you didn't bow at Modim. Don't take everything so literally. Right? Because what does it mean if someone doesn't bow at Modim? If someone doesn't bow at Modim, that means that they're not Modim to Hashem. Al nisech, al chayenu hamsurim biyadecha, v'al nishmosinu apkudos lach. If we don't believe, if we don't appreciate that Hashem gave us life, then he doesn't deserve to give us life, right? What would happen? You give your kids something, they don't appreciate it. You're not going to give it to them again. I hope. Maybe I'd go to jail for that nowadays, right? Because it's like abuse or something. But when we were kids and life was still normal, right? If you gave your kid a snack and he didn't appreciate it, then next Shabbos you didn't give him a snack, right? If you gave your kid allowance, he didn't appreciate it, then next time you don't give him allowance. V'chuli, v'chuli. That makes a lot of sense. So here, we don't mean that bowing at Modim, like the guy was lazy and didn't bow because his back hurt. We mean, fundamentally, if not bowing at Modim represents not being molded to Hashem for Chayenu Hamsum Yodechu Nishoseinu Apkudos Lach, then if you don't appreciate it, you don't deserve to get it back next time. So then what we're saying is that here we're talking about the philosophical Aveira of Foitova, right? Of not appreciating what Hashem does for you and your very life. If you don't appreciate the life of Hashem, then Taka, you don't deserve to become T'chias HaMeisim. It's a fundamental kfira. Not a, again, maybe I shouldn't have written philosophical. I don't mean the kind of kfira that you do in like philosophy school of I do or don't believe in the premise of the God's existence in the following fashion. No, I mean the existential kfira of I don't believe in my life that God did anything for me or that I owe him anything. And then it makes sense that you're not coming T'chias HaMeisim. It's a very fundamental kind of kfira. Okay, the one last thing. Tosfos asked at the beginning of Tosfos Dibur Maskil, whatever it is here, why davka a nachash? I mean, either way, if it's a gnai, why a nachash? There are other gnais, right? It can be into a toilet. And if it's not come t'chias HaMeisim, also why a nachash? Why not just say the luz bone degrades? Or why not say it becomes anything else in the world? So why davka nachash? Right? So, says Tosfos, Mida Keneged Mida, because the halacha is in Brachos, we say when you bow, you have to bow Kechizra, and when you're Zokeh Kechivya, Chivya, right, is Nachash. The halacha is that when I bow in Modim, I'm supposed to bow very quickly, and I'm supposed to raise up slowly, like a nachash, slowly goes like this. Right? So since you weren't zokeh kechivya, you become a chivya. Right? Mida kenegen mida. Al shalo zakaf ke chivya. Okay, but one could certainly understand it in a more philosophical level, perhaps. Anyone want to have a deeper explanation of why davka anachash? Why davka anachash?
The first onish HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden, that's obviously the best onish to get.
Right, so ultimately, one could say, and this is found in all the Echronim, basically, if we're talking about the sin here not being how you bow, how you don't bow, but kfira, you don't appreciate that Hashem created you, right? You don't appreciate that Hashem gave you what you have. The source of all kfira is the primordial nachash, right? It all goes back to the nachash. What did the nachash say? The nachash said, "Ah, Hashem's right. Hashem's not the boss. He eat from the fruit. You can eat from the fruit, right? He's nothing special." The ultimate kfira goes down to the nachash, right? Beginning of the Chumash, kfira is nachash. And not only that, you would add what was the punishment of the. Of the Nachash. The punishment of the Nachash was that he was sort of lowered to the ground, right? Ultimately, the Nachash was lowered to the ground because of his kfira. If that was his midah k'neged midah, okay, we're supposed to lower ourselves by bowing and not be kofrim in the first place. If we act like the Nachash, then, so you could easily say that im tibso lomar dehavera ki kfira. Then, Avera Zu, he, Maisa, Hanachash HaKadmoni. Right, okay, the Nachash HaKadmoni makes sense. The Nachash is the one who didn't appreciate Hashem, who didn't give a role to Hashem. So that's why you become a Nachash, meaning you are like the Nachash in Gan Eden. Okay, perhaps one can add another Musar Vart, which is the famous Musar Vart, which I like very much, which maybe is a little less pshat, but the, we say in Bor Nefashos, Rabos, Viches Ronan, Hashem creates the Chisaron. Right? Okay, why do we thank Hashem for creating a Chisaron? Right? Why do we thank Hashem for creating what we have? Why thank Hashem for creating a Chisaron? Okay, so it could be that Chesronan means Miloi Chesronan, right? But the simple shot is Hashem created a lot of nefashos with chisronos. Why are we thanking Hashem for the chisaron? So there's a famous Musar Vart, I don't know who said this first, that the nachash was punished with the afar tochal kol yimei chayecha, eating dirt. What's the punishment of the nachash of eating dirt? On the one hand, okay, shuto shel mikra might be just meaning be low, right? When you're low, you accidentally eat dirt. But the Midrash understands he mamish eats dirt. Okay, what's the punishment to eat dirt? The punishment is that he'll always have what to eat. Because he just is always dirt. Right? We don't always have what to eat. I mean, we hope we will, but not guaranteed, right? All the other animals don't always have what to eat. Right? There's the nachash, he doesn't have a chisaron. If he doesn't have a chisaron, then he doesn't ever have to daven to Hashem, and he has no relationship with Hashem. Right, the worst punishment you can do is not to give your kid something, but to say, just do whatever you want. Here, you have money in the bank, Yerusha from your great-grandfather. Take it, just don't talk to me anymore. Right? And the Nachash is the only one who never has to talk to Hashem, who has no relation to Hashem because he doesn't need anything. We thank Hashem for Kasronim for the needs, because the needs are what allow us to come close to Hashem. Ultimately, if the Nachash is someone who doesn't have to appreciate Hashem, I mean, he lost the opportunity to appreciate Hashem. If you don't appreciate Hashem, then you're ultimately a nachash, because you don't feel like he's sorrowing for Hashem. And you don't feel you ever need God. If you don't feel you ever need God, you're a nachash. Okay, that's a nice Musar Vart. But ultimately, I think it comes down to Tosos, Midik, and Midor, or something deeper, which goes back to that nachash HaKadmoni, which is not a steer to Tosos. Maybe that's the Amkos of Tosos, but now let us go on. So now we're really ready to discuss these five animals. Amar Mar, let's just turn the page. Ramer or Ma'afa Tavur, Rilazar Afa Nachash, Rilazar says even a Nachash. When he even a Nachash, on a time, Rilazar or Machim, the Tarbas, say Imod and Nachash Mulil. He doesn't say even a Nachash, he says most, first and foremost, a Nachash. Even the Nachash is Muad. No, the Nachash is more Muad, because he's Muad the Olam. So Tani Nachash, no, what it meant, Rilazar says Nachash. He says Nachash is the only one that's always Muad, because the other ones can be tam if you domesticate them. Okay, so let's talk a little about these five or six wild animals. Zev, Ari, Namer, Dov, Bardalus, and Nachash, the six wild animals. So the first, I want to hazard something, which we said two shiurim ago, I believe, because it's been a while since two shiurim ago. Everyone's been hazarding hard. even though they haven't sent me in their tests yet. The which avnezek are these? Which avnezek are these six wild animals chaya for? So that's the discussion of Tosos in Dibur Masal v'Hanachash on Daf Tezayin and Aleph, right? Well, the second part of this, which avnezek are we talking about? So these wild animals, says Tosos. I apologize, going a little out of order in Tosos. Davi Shane Bershus Harabim. It is Shane. These animals are Shane because they like eating things, right? After all, why are the Nummer and the Ari and the Dove and the Bardalus and the Zev so dangerous? Because they're hungry, right? And when they're hungry, they kill animals and eat them. So it's Shane. Okay, very reasonable, meaning. I mean, sounds reasonable to me, right? If a lion's hungry and he eats something, call that shame. Doesn't seem crazy to me. Okay, the problem is, what about Nachash, right? What about Nachash? So here, let's just ask for a moment. Which Av are the six Chayos Ro'os? So it says, Tosfos, shame. Okay, but then we have a problem, which is what about the Nachash? Because as pointed out, the word Taina says, Ein yis yitaron leval halashon, right? That the Nachash is not nene from biting. so, what about the Nachash? So one possibility is, which we saw in the Rash button one day in the Bezim and Bez, and in the Rashi Madura Kama here, the Nachash is also Nene. It's all talking about Shane Varegel, who are Nene. So one possibility is that it's all Shane, even the Nachash. Or, sorry. One possibility is that it's Shane, even the Nachash. Ah, is the Nachash Nene? Yeah, even the Nachash is Nene. Shane and even the Nachash is Nene. This is... Who says this? This says Rashi Madura Kama. Says the Nachash drinks the blood. Again, I'm not familiar with that from our snakes.
Whatever the Nachash does, he's doing it from instinct. If he fills his instinct, it's enjoyment for him.
That's what the Rashba says. The Rashba says he is nene from it, meaning it's not like Shurmuad. A Shurmuad is not an instinct that he enjoys it. A Shurmuad is mad. Now, obviously, I guess every time you release your... you know, a pent-up frustration you get somehow off of it. But it's not something it sure doesn't enjoy goring. He gets mad and he gores. A Nachash, that's either Rashi Madur Kama says, he does it to drink the blood. So that's clearly eating classic Shane. Or the other possibility is, the Rashba, Daf Beis Amud Beis, in his... I wish I wrote down whether it was first shot or second shot. Let me see if I wrote it down here. In his first shot says he just enjoys biting. Not really the same, like teething, right? The kid enjoys biting his teething toy. Not that he eats something, but he enjoys it. I don't mean the Nachash is teething, but somehow, as Morty says, it's some enjoyable instinct for him. Right, so here, either Rashba Dura Kama or the Rashba Le'el in his first opinion. Rashba Dura Kama says it shanks, he drinks the blood. And Rashba, in his first opinion, says it shanks, he enjoys biting. If so, then there's really not much to talk about, because if Taka, they're doing it for eating or enjoyment, then it should be Shane. I don't really see how that should be controversial, meaning Alpisvara. If you're willing to make this assumption in Metzios that the Nachash is Nene, then Alpi Svara doesn't seem so difficult, right? Meaning in Svara, this is not a Kiddush. Yeah, just make the Okimta that they were all doing it for enjoyment. You know, let me say it even a little better. Here is the Okimta. And here is the Svara. One, Derek, is the Okimta is... is shame. The okimta is that they're eating, right? Which is how you'd imagine what these wild animals would do. And the nachash is shose es hadam, which is a strange Rashi Madur Kama. Oh, nene mina shichaso, like Morty said, and that's the Rashba on Daf Beis Amud Beis in his first opinion. Okay, that's one possibility. In which case, misfara, this is not a chiddush. Taka, if it's shein, it's shein. I don't really see how anyone would disagree once you make that okimta. But the problem is the funny okimta, because you have to make the nachash nene, which seems to be against the Gemara in Taimis. Okay, Rashi apparently was not Badur Kama, doesn't say he wasn't bothered by the Gemara in Taimis. It says he's not nene. Okay, maybe, I don't know what he does with it. And the Rashi says, no, it means he's not nene mamish, but he's nene a little. Right? Like the teething toy. You're not nene that you gain, but you're nene that you enjoy. Right? Playing a pinball game. I'm not nene like a steak that now my belly is full, but I'm nene that I enjoy it. Okay. Right, well, here maybe it's not even the Garon, but yeah, it's still with the same idea. Correct.
Very good.
Yes, I agree. The second shot is so this is Rashba Deya Aleph and Rashi Madura Kama. Second shot is Tosfos and all the Bali Tosfos in the Shidu Gubetzes and the Rashba there in his second day, which is the same as Tosfos. And other people also, we won't list them all now. He says, it's Shane. Or regal. Shane or regal, what does Tosfos say? The nachash is clearly not nene. So how is it Shane or regal? So very poshut. If it's la'achila, then it's Shane. If it's lahazik, then it's regal. Why is the kavanos lahazik regal? Shouldn't kavanos lahazik be keren? The answer is no. There's Tosfos l'shitase that kavanos lahazik is not true at all. The maskana. Maybe that was a different day. I remember. Maybe that was our papa. Maybe that was before we knew the tana shava. We had all the answers on the board b'luch harifta, etc. But what's the chiddush misvara? Going back to our old chakira, which is that the difference between Shein v'regel versus Keren is not Kavanos l'hazik, because here Kavanos l'hazik is Keren, but Orche versus Meshone. And since it's Orche v'z l'hazik, unlike cows and sheep and dogs and cats, you know, and birds and chickens, here it's Orche l'hazik, because wild animals, therefore it is regel. Okay, the third shot. The third shot is the Rash in the Shidim Gebetzes here. I'm not sure who the Rash is in the Shidim Gebetzes. I apologize. Maybe I could find out. Maybe I can't find out. Some of the people in Shidim Gebetzes, Taka, just no one knows. Like, it's just lost in the sands of history. Some of the people, maybe I was just lazy and didn't find out who the Rash was in the Shidim Gebetzes. But the Shidim Gebetzes quotes from someone called the Rash, Nira d'cholhani ayrik shizikul b'rachila b'havali keren. You want to know about eating? Eating is tesayinim beis meimer de Shmuel, not the Mishnah. Right? In the Mishnah. We're not talking about Shmuel. Shmuel clearly says Shein. Right? Shmuel clearly talks about Shein. We're talking about in the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, some people assume that Rashi, Madur Kam, Rashi from one day assumed it's eating. Tosfos assumes it's either eating or kavanos lahazik, which is Shein and Regel, and those are the same, close enough. Says the Rash, and the Rambam, according to the Pshat of the Magen Mishnah, which seems to be correct, Pshat of the Rambam. It's very hard to tell. The Rambam here is not very meduyak, and his lashon is not very specific, but it seems to be. The Rambam gives no hint that we're talking specifically about Shein v'regel here. He says no. What's going on in our Mishnah? Keren muad mitchiloso. Are these chayas rosh or keren muad mitchiloso? Ashmul and Amud Beis talks about Shein. That's a different okimta. What's the okimta of our Mishnah? The okimta of our Mishnah is Havana lehazik. Now the Akim Darmish is that these animals are going back on the negicha, negifa, neshicha, revitza, beita. These animals are wild animals that come to us lehazik. Even when they're not hungry, you don't mess with them. Oh, when they are eating, let's just say for a second, kavanos lahazik, and therefore it is keren. But unlike most keren, which is mishuneh, this is keren that's not mishuneh. Keren she'eino mishuneh. Therefore, that's what's called keren muad mitchilaso. We never heard of keren muad mitchilaso. Just till now, we've been discussing normal animals. Normal animals are not muad mitchilaso for keren. But these wild animals are. Ah, what if they were eating? If they are eating, that's Shmuel's. That's Shmuel in the Gemara, not the Mishnah. Of course, if they're eating, it's Shane. But that's Shmuel in the Gemara. That's not the Mishnah. You can't deny if they're eating that it's Shane, right? That's Shane, right? If they're eating, then it's Shane. But that's not what's in the Mishnah. That's not what the Mishnah is discussing, which makes a lot of sense. The Mishnah already talked about Shane, right? Interesting, the Tosfos Rosh asked on himself, why does the Mishnah have to list these animals if they're Shane Varego? It says, oh, just to teach us that you might not realize they're Shane Varego, but they are, right? Meaning, for the first two Pshatim, there's no conceptual new thing added in the Mishnah. It's just telling you what's Bechal Shein Varegel. For the Rash and the Rambam, there's something new conceptually being added here. Until Daf Tes Vava and Beis, we never knew there was Keren Muad Mitchilaso. We knew there was Keren Tam Mitchilaso and Shein Varegel Muad Mitchilaso. Now as a Chiddush, there's Keren Muad Mitchilaso. According to the entire phone, Bechatzar Aniza, Keren is Muad Mitchila. And these six animals, according to everyone, is Muad Mitchila. Okay, so what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that... in which case, it's really a new thing in the Mishnah, as opposed to the Tosos Rosh, which Nugavetz points out, it's not a new thing according to Bali Tosos. In which case, what is the Svar here? This is the Svar. This is the issue we just discussed beforehand, that the difference between Keren, at least Muad, right, because it's hard to say this, and Shein Varegel is not Mishuna mitchilaso. It's not that something that used to be Mishuna and happened three times is Keren. Something that was always normal is Shein Varegel. No, this is always normal and it's Keren. But Kavanaso lahazik. Right, and that's the Chakira that we had 2 shiurim ago. And this is exactly the main place this Chakira comes up. What if something is not Mishuna but is Kavanaso lahazik? So, the Bali Tosos and the Rashba say in various ways, or Bali Tosos and the Rashba, if it's not Mishunah, then it can't be Keren. It has to be Shein Varegel. And the Rambam and the Rash say, no. Even if it's not Mishunah, we have to ask, is it Kavanos Lahazik or not? If it's Kavanos Lahazik, it's Keren. And if it's not Kavanos Lahazik, it's Shein Varegel. Okay, and then they invent something called Keren Muad Mitchilaso. According to Tosos, there is no Keren Muad Mitchilaso by definition. Keren can only be Mishunah. How can it be Muad Mitchilaso? According to the Rash and the Rambam, there is such thing as Keren Muad Mitchilaso. A kavanos lahazik, that's normal, which you don't find by regular animals, but you do find by wild animals. Okay, Rashi, how does Rashi sound here? It's a little hard to prove, but Rashi says, Hare elu mu'adim, afilu ben shicho v'chol nezokin, mishal m'baylim shalohim nezik shalim. Rashi on the Mishnah says, says, even in the neshicha and all the nezokin. What? Even the Neshicha and all the Nezakin, it's not exactly clear what he means, right? What does he mean by even in the Neshicha and all the Nezakin? But it might sound from Rashi, even in the Neshicha and all the Nezakin, Neshicha is referring to the beginning of the Mishnah, right? Which is Negicha, Negifa, Revitza, Be'ita, Neshicha, all the Nezakin, L'chora mean, Negicha, Negifa, Revitza, Be'ita, L'chora, all those things sound like Havanos L'Hazik. So I can't prove it. You could say Rashi means even biting and all the nezakim, which it does to eat food and fill its belly. And he's like Tosos. You could say. But the simple pshat of Rashi, I'm not talking about Dorakama. I'm talking about our Rashi. The Ulai Rashi al HaMishnah, right? Says even the geek and the sheikh and all the nezakim, which makes it sound like the ones that are coming us lahasik. But I can't prove it. So that's why I'm putting a maybe. Okay, now let's ask one other question, and then we're ready to go on. And then we'll go on to the Gemara. excuse me. The beginning of Tosfos Maaseh Va Nachash. Beginning of Tosfos Maaseh Va Nachash says, La b'chol inyanei hezek v'chashivei mu'adim. He's not mu'ad in all kinds of hezek. These six animals, are they always mu'ad or are they not always mu'ad? Interesting question. Are they always mu'ad or not? Says Tosfos, they're not always mu'ad. They're only mu'ad in something which is normal. But they could do abnormal things. Meaning, things that are abnormal for cows are normal for wild animals. But there are things that are now abnormal even for wild animals. I don't know, if the lion does a somersault and lands on your vase, l'chore, that's abnormal. Right? What's his example? Gon sheba zev v'toref ari v'doras. A zev is, these are the orche. The zev is torif, the ari is doris, so torf laniach, where the ari is torif laniach, based on amid beis. Although me did love orche, he called ari shetarif yachal. Amid beis implies that an ari that's torif ochel is lav orche. Chain shar zek is lav orchei. Whatever you can imagine using your creativity. Lo hab muadim, moshame chatzi nezek. Then they only pay chatzi nezek. Okay. Says Tosfos. So there. What's the other point in this Tosfos? Says Tosfos, we say the chayos ra'os are mu'adim. What if they do something weird? What if they do something weird? What if the chayos ra'os do something weird? Right? What if they do a nezek mishuga? Again, I don't mean something that's weird for a cow. That they always do. Something that's even for an ox, for a bull, for a steer, whatever. Something that's even weird for a lion or a hyena or a snake. Right? Snake does a weird thing. So, what about that? Says Tosfos, then they're not mu'ad. Right? Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim. Well, maybe we'll leave it at Tosfos for now. Tosfos ve'od says chatzi nezek. After all, just like the kelev she'achal imri ve'shonua de'achla tarnagolta, right? If it does something weird, then it becomes chatzi nezek. Anything mishona is only chatzi nezek, right? Which makes a lot of sense. That's a general rule that mishona is chatzi nezek. However, says the Gra here on the side, what does the Gra say? V'rambam cholek al zeh. The Rambam disagrees. How does he know the Rambam disagrees? Well, the Rambam doesn't take on Tosfos explicitly. He never read Tosfos. But what does the Rambam say? Says the Rambam, Chamisha mina behem wadab yichlosid b'yosel lahazik. They're mu'ad lahazik. Afilu im b'nei tarbus, against Rabbi Lazar, can't be tamed. L'fikach miziku ohimisu ben gicho ben shichu dris v'geyotzu behem chayiv nezik shalim. Therefore the chayiv nezik shalim. So now, what does the Rambam say? He just says stam, that they're all muad, right? He's not machalik. So, whether you take that as a proof or not, it's not 100% clear. The Lecha Mishnah clearly understands the Rambam this way. Lecha Mishnah clearly understands that this is the Rambam Shita. And the Gra also understands this is the Rambam Shita. Okay, so this is Stimas HaRambam. He didn't say explicitly, even if they do something it's not normal for them to do. But he didn't say if they do something it's normal for them to do. Right, so here we have the Rambam Lefi Ra Vilecha Mishnah. Nope. Still Muad. It's still Muad. What is, even if it does something abnormal, that is still Muad. What's the Svara? What's the Svara that does something abnormal? And by the way, that's how Rashi sounds. What does Rashi say on the Mishnah? Harei lemu adam afilu b'neshicha uvechol nezakin umesham and ba'am shem nezik shalim. The second last Rashi in the Mishnah says kol nezakin is nezik shalim. It sounds like kol nezakin is nezik shalim. All nezakin. Toso says la b'chol nyanei hezek. Not all nezakin. And Rashi says all nezakin. It sounds like Rashi's disagreeing with Tosos, right? Rashi al HaMishnah says, right? What does he say?
Bekol Nezakin. Nezek Shalim. Sounds like he agrees with the Achronim Shah and the Rambam that it's still Muad. Okay, so here's the big question. What's the nature of these six animals? Tosfos says, what do you mean? It depends if it's expected or not expected. The Tosfos seems to be, you know, a smooth svara. The rule in general is that there's a difference between something expected and not expected. Something mashuna becomes keren tam. What's the svara of Rambam? The svara of Rambam, l'chor, no one explains it. The Gra doesn't explain the svara of the Rambam. L'chemishah also doesn't explain the svara of the Rambam. He just tries to stick it into the Gemara. What's the svara of the Rambam? So, I'm not sure here. Anyone want to say what's the svara of the Rambam? If the Rambam indeed holds that, right? Which I can't promise you. Does the Rambam really hold that?
Yeah.
I can't promise you.
Sure, it's part of the period.
What?
Sure, it's part of the period of the Tosfos since Gan Mamma. Rambam emphasizes very clearly that that's what's Mavgen Tam as opposed to Mor is Mishnah.
Yes, very clearly. But what does he think about these six animals? He doesn't say. They're Muad to be Mazik. Right, the fika chemiziku or misum and gicho b'shichu chayiv nezek shalim. Right, so I think ultimately the answer is going to be maybe this is what Irv is trying to say is that these animals are fundamentally, since these animals are fundamentally wild, whatever they did is considered expected. When an animal is fundamentally tame, then if it does something unexpected, you're not so chayiv. An animal is fundamentally wild. It's considered labcheska shimer in general. It has a general din of labcheska shimer because it's michutz lamachne, and therefore everything it does, even if this particular act wasn't expected, since you know this animal is paretz kvulot, you know this animal is beyond the normal bounds of civilization. Therefore, everything it does, you're responsible for everything it does. You shouldn't have expected it to do anything because the whole point of these animals is that they act crazy. Okay, so here is if the Rambam really holds that. It's not clear to me 100% the Gra is right. Not that I like to argue on the Gra. You could have read the Rambam as, no, these animals are muad to be mazik in ways that they're normally mazik. You could add that in. but what's the svara? The svara is, here it's pashat. For Tosfos, the svara is, yeah, if it's Mashuna, then it's Mashuna. Pashut. The svara of the Rambam, if this is the right shot of the Rambam, is that no, it's a special thing to these animals. Since these animals are crossing the line, these animals are in general considered wild, therefore, you have to expect them to do crazy things. Yes?
The only thing the Gemara says is that the Rambam is holding on to us.
Yeah.
It doesn't say on what point the Rambam.
No, L'chora on the point, where he put this note.
No, I understand. The point of Tosfos is that he distinguishes between Orche and Labo.
Right, and the Rambam doesn't.
The Rambam doesn't, and that's what the Gemara is saying. The Rambam doesn't distinguish between Orche and Labo.
Right.
For the same reason that there's no such thing as Labo Orche by these animals.
Exactly.
Shlomo, in his question, he sort of explains that.
What does he say?
He says it's an animal, you can't expect animals to be in the shuk. They always do that. He knocks it down, but he starts out with that idea that an animal.
Yeah, but I think he's talking about Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, not about Chatzi Nezek. There's two different issues, which I'll come back to in a moment. Hopefully, it's a general. We have a general din of Chayos Ra'os. What does it say there? You have a different Hesber? It's a general din of Chayos Ra'os that they're expected to be Mazik in general. Right, that they are mu'adin lehazik in general. Not that they're mu'ad to be mazik in a weird way. How can we expect to be mazik in a weird way? That we don't distinguish. For tame animals, we distinguish in the ways. There's this kind of action and this kind of action. For wild animals, they're fundamentally mu'ad to be mazik because they're crazy, they're beyond the bounds of civilization, and therefore we don't distinguish within them. For Rashi, if you make this divan Rashi, you have a bit of a problem, though. Because Rashi on the Mishnah says all Nezikin are Nezik Shalim, sounds against Tosfos, but Rashi on Tezayim Beis says Mefurish Look at Rashi, Tesayim Beis Mefurish in the fourth line, Chayav. If the lion eats, if the lion eats in a weird way, the lav orchehi, betolda de keren hu mishalim chatzi nezek b'shus harabim. If the lion eats in a weird way, right, tori for ochel, it pays chatzi nezek. So here Rashi's like Tosa. So Rashi's a steward. You have anything good for us there, Chaim?
One second. Did we have the nezek you gave it to us?
I don't know if Morty put it.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Which one?
The Evan Ozel.
Yeah,
well,
it's on there. So. Is it different? He disagrees with the
Rabbi.
Okay, what? Okay, but what are you quoting him now? Okay. Okay, let me just point out Rashi. However, Rashi on Tezayim and Beis says that Ari Shetaraf V'achal Lav Orche Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. The Lechemish points out it never said in the Gemara Chatzi Nezek. Never said the words Chatzi Nezek in the Gemara. Just as Chai Rishu Rabbah never says Chatzi Nezek in the Gemara. But Rashi says Chatzi Nezek. Now Rashi so sure himself. On the Mishnah, he says all Nezek and Nezek Shalim sounds like the Rambam. On Daf Tezayim Beis, he sounds like Tosos.
Yeah,
well, no, no, only Orche is Nezek Shalim. If it's Lav Orche, it's Chatzi Nezek.
Well, that's what he's got to do because he's explaining Shmuel.
Shmuel never says Chatzi Nezek. He just says Chai Rishu Sarabim. Okay, but he adds something the Lechemish doesn't. The Lechemish says Shmuel never meant Chatzi Nezek.
But that's what Rashi's...
Okay, Rashi thinks Shmuel. Shmuel sounds like he's calling it Keren. Right? Keren Tam. That's an assumption. Okay, so Rashi takes reasonable shot in the Gemara and Tezayim and Beis. Just again, what does Shmuel say? An Ari that's Torah for Ochel is acting weird and he's Chai Rishu Sarabim. He never says, therefore it's Keren Tam Chatzi Nezek. Could say he means Karen Mood and Ezek Shelley, or something else.
Yeah,
which the Lechemishah says. So, but here we have a Steer in Rashi. What are you going to do with Rashi? So you could just deny the Diok in the first Rashi. The second Rashi before is the first Rashi's Diok. Maybe when he meant all Nezakin is Ezek Shelley, he didn't mean unlike Tosos. He meant all Nezakin that are Orche. So here, you know, Imtin Zolomer, the Rashi Kasa Bedavka, you could say he's Lav Davka, but if he's Davka, then you probably have to say a big Kiddush for Rashi, which is, this idea is found in the Evan Ozel, which is that there's a difference between Karen de Lav Orche and Shane de Lav Orche. Maybe you have to make a split. Then you have to say that he splits the din. What do I mean by that? If you have kavana lehazik beofen mishone, that pays nezek shalim because they are generally mazikin. If he's mad kavana lehazik beofen mishone, which Rashi told me in the Mishnah, right? Neshicha and negifa and beita, etc. If they're trying to be mazik from Mishonah. No, in general, it's not Mishonah for them to try to be mazik. But if he's ochel the ofen Mishonah, then that's only Chatzi Nezek. These animals are wild animals. That doesn't mean they're expected to eat in a weird way. They're expected to damage in every way. If they damage, they're damagers. But if they eat, eating is a normal thing to do. So if they eat normally, that is shame. And if they eat abnormally, that's only chatzi nezek. So maybe you have to say that for Rashi, it's a big chiddush to say like the shame mazik that's chal on them is le'inyan kavanas lahazik. Kavanas lahazik is never mishunah. We always expect them to try to hurt people. However, eating, no, they should always eat normally. And eating, they're no different than cows and sheep. When they're eating, they don't have a special status. When they're damaging, they have a special status because they're wild animals. Okay, maybe the other option is just say Rashi's Lav Davka. We're going to leave that now and come to the Chaim. Could you get the board again? The most important part of our sugya. We left ourselves just enough time for the most important part of our sugya. Says Shmuel something very, very strange. Right? Says Shmuel something very peculiar. Amar Shmuel. Ari b'shus harabim, doras v'achal potter. If he's doris v'ochel, he's potter. Tara v'achal chayev. If he's tori v'ochel, he is chayev. Now,
what is doris v'ochel, what's torif v'ochel? Like, just what do those words mean? So here, we're not 100% sure. It doesn't matter for the lumbus. But, I guess halachal maisa, if you have to pass in such a case, it might matter. What is Rashi and Tosvos and many Rishonim, who I didn't put on the sheet, say here? Torif is, what's the meaning, torif and doris?
Doris, he eats where he kills it, and doris he takes it somewhere else to eat it.
That's not what Rashi says here.
No.
Exactly. Rashi says doris is to eat it alive, and torif is to eat it dead. Okay. Rashi in Tainis says that, no. Rashi in Tainis says that doris is to eat it right away, and torif is to bring it home and eat it. Rashi in Bab-Metzia says something similar. Doris is to kill it right away, and torif is to bring it someplace else and kill it. Okay. So basically, Rashi and Tainis and Bab-Metzia are here versus taking it somewhere else. And the Rabbeinu Hananel here says a different shot, which is also found in the Sefer Ha'aruch, in one of his pshatim. He also brings Rashi. Rabbeinu Hananel says it depends how he kills it. What's the difference between doris and torif?
If he with the eris that's in the paws versus
Doris is with his paws and torif is with his teeth. Okay, so one of these pshatim again either means eat it alive or eat it dead, or like Rashi in other places, eat it here or eat it there. Or like the Rabbeinu Hananel, kill it with paws versus kill it with its teeth. Somehow there's a normal and abnormal way is Mechadish Shmuel. And so what? Ari Bishas Harabim, you got the board, right, Chaim?
Yeah.
Ari Bishas Harabim, Doris V'Ochel Potter. If it was Doris V'Ochel, that's normal, and that's Shein Bishas Harabim, and it's Potter. Tara V'Ochel Chayav. Tara V'Ochel is abnormal, that's Keren. If it's abnormal, then you're chayiv versus rabim. Daris v'achol potter. Now we explain. It came into orchid the meters havali kemosha achol peiros v'rakos havali shame versus rabim u'potter. Taraf lav orchehu. That's lav orche. That's like keren versus rabim. And you are chayiv. Rashi says chatzi nezek. And the lecha mishnah says nezek shalim. Okay, but clearly chayiv versus rabim. Now the rest of this gemara is going to the main part of this gemara is going to question. Not the lumdus of Shmuel. That's not what the Gemara is worried about. But the technical shita of Shmuel about normalcy and abnormalcy. And Shmuel's going to end up very dachuk, right? So let's read the technical problems. I'm more interested in the lumdus of Shmuel. But let's read the technical problem of Shmuel, right? There, as quickly as we can. The main metatrefel av orchehu vaksiv are toref bade gerosav. He's toref. No, bishvil gerosav. It's not, and Ari's not Torah for Ochel, that's weird. He's only Torah when he wants to feed his kids. Umechanech, right, that's probably one of the reasons why Rashi in Tainis and Bab-Metzia said Torah means to bring it elsewhere. Then that would make sense for feeding his kids. No, you have to say no, he just acts differently if he wants to save it for his kids. Umechanech lil va'osav, for his wives. Bishvil va'osav. No, that's only if he wants to feed his wives. Okay, vaymali teref chorav. He fills his chorim with teref. Bishvil chorim. That's if he wants to bring it home for his family. Umonosav trefa. Bishvil monosav. Okay, that part is not so dachuk in the pasuk. Vatanya v'chein chaya shenichsu chal tzuri the torfa behemo v'achlo basar mishal nezik shalom. Assuming here it means every chaya, even a lion. Right? When we see a lion that's toref, is mishal nezik shalom. Which, according to Rashi, proves that it's shein, that it's normal. Or you could just say, since it's only chaya b'chatzar nizak, that proves that it is normal. Because if it was abnormal, be chayiv even not chatzar nizak. Cause my skin is torfa lahaniach. No, that was torfa lahaniach for later. Because for later, it's normal to be torf. Ha'achlech. It doesn't say eight. Shenim l'chachlech. It was normal because it was torf to say for later and then change his mind at eight. Hold on a second. Nayadim. How do we know all these things? How do we read the minds of lions? Also, if you're going to say change his mind, then every torf ochel should be normal because let's assume that it was torf to eat to save for later and then change his mind and ate now. Amr nachmezel studying kadani. No, you have to reinterpret this mishnah or brisa of chaya. I think it's a mishnah later on. Chaya shenechlozol chatzar nizak. Is it? No, it's a brisa later on. Fine. This brisa later on. As let's study Katani, two separate cases, even though it sounds like one. Very dachuk answer. Tarfala niach, oh darsava achla. That's normal. Tarfala niach or darsava achla. Shalom is nezik shalim. Okay. Ravina says, Kikamar Shmuel ba'ari tarbusva. Leave the relazer. Shmuel is talking about an ari tarbus for every relazer. Damar lava urche. He says it's not urche. Hold on. If it's an ari tarbus, then it's a tame animal. Then it's like a shore.
Then anything it does, if it's an aritar bus, then anything it does is mishunah, and whether it's doris or torif is mishunah, should be chayav rishus rabbin. El Ravina lav Shmuel et Moros Nisa. Ravina wasn't talking about Shmuel, rather he was talking about the brisa. Ki tanim asnisa by aritar bus will be lasser. The brisa, don't say the brisa was studim katani. Rather the brisa was an aritar bus according to Rav Lazar. Tosa says doesn't have to be davkin aritar bus going to Rav Lazar. In the end, it's lava orche. Hold on, if it's lava orche, an aritarbus, a tame animal. Everyone agrees a tame animal that acts weird pays chatzin ezek. The yai, it was after it did it three times. Hold on, if it was a tame animal that did something weird and then did it three times, why is it listed by the toldos of shein? Gabi told it in the karen by the mistake, because in the Bryce says toldos of shein, it should be a toldos of karen, so it was a yai three times. Kasha, that's difficult. Okay, we'll get back to that if we have time in a few minutes. First, let's point out that Shmuel is super dachuk here. Shmuel says, Ari Shetara Fa'achal is not Orche, right? That's his main point. His technical point is it's not Orche for an Ari to be Tore Fa'achal, whatever Tore means, right? Either it's not normal for him to eat it after it's dead, or it's not normal for him to bring it elsewhere and eat it, or it's not normal for him to use his teeth to kill an animal and eat it. And then we have all these psukim. He is saying, no, that only means to bring home for later. Then we have the brisa. He says, study katani, take a knife and cut the brisa into two different cases. Tarafa achal means tarafa hiniach, odarsa achal. Or you have to say that's an ari tarbus that was a ya'id. Okay, Tos says you don't have to say it's an ari tarbus that was a ya'id, but you have to say it was a ya'id. And then you're left with a kasha, why it's not a told of Karen. Shmuel is very dachuk. Shmuel is so dachuk that. Finish the sentence. Shmuel is so dachuk that.
But that the Rambam doesn't pass him like that.
Only the Rambam?
That's all we care. We care about the
only the Rambam? Does anyone else not pass him like Shmuel? I'll give you a clue. On the Makorah sheet, anyone else not pass him like Shmuel? The Riff! Right?
Okay.
Now, it's an argument from silence, but arguments from silence and the Riff are good. Meaning, sometimes an argument from silence is weak. The Riff's whole job is to bring down the Lamaisa Maskanas of the Gemara. That's the nature of his book. He brings down our whole sugya on the Mishnah, and he leaves out Shmuel. How can he leave out Shmuel? That's the Halacha Lamaisa Maskan of the sugya. Obviously, the Riff understood that it was not the Halacha Lamaisa Maskan of our sugya, right? And that's where the Rambam got it from, right?
Yeah.
Most weird teachers of the Rambam are only weird teachers of the Rambam because we learn Gemara with Rashi Tosos instead of learning Gemara with Riff. Right, if we learn Gemara with Riff, then there wouldn't be as many weird sheets as the Rambam. Because often he follows the Riff. Not always. Often. Right, so here, the Rambam, the Riff, leave Shmuel out. Why do they leave Shmuel out? On the simple level, what everyone says is because on the technical plane, Shmuel is dachuk. Not necessarily lumdus. If you want to, you could say they disagreed in lumdus, but you don't have to. Right? What do you have to say? That the Rambam, Riff, left Shmuel out because they disagreed on the technicality. Give me a break, Ari Shetar Fa'achal is not Orche. That is ridiculous. You have stuck with, as the Achronim wrote, Shinui Dechiki. So the Rambam and Riff disagreed with Shmuel. It's still a little bold. Some of the Achronim are bothered. Still, there was no bar plukt of Shmuel. It's one thing if you have Machlokas.
Yes.
If you have Machlokas, there's a rule of Sakin Rishonim. Machlokas, Amorayim.
Yes.
One of them needs Shinui Dechiki.
Yes.
Dachuk answers, the other one doesn't. So possibly the one who's not Dachuk. Over here, there's no machlokas. It's only Shmuel. So I don't have any shinui dechiki. Okay, that's part of Judaism. You learn Talmud Bavli, you get a lot of shinui dechiki. You know, but you can't pass him against someone when there's no one against him.
It's not just that's a shinui dechiki. Shinui dechiki is a dachuk answer.
Yeah.
This is the
okay. In any case, the Rambam, I would like to find even a better reason why the Rambam Riff rejected Shmuel. I haven't found yet a better reason why they rejected Shmuel, other than what all the Achronim write, which is Shinui Dechiki.
They also
said
because of the Brisa.
There must be something else. There must be something. There must be something you can put together someplace.
But they say just the Rambam Paskins according to the Brisa, Pashtus the Brisa.
Yeah, I understand. It. Okay, say it.
But it doesn't make sense for the Gemara.
Okay, in any case,
okay.
They passing in Shmuel technically. But now I want to go back a second and understand. Forget about the technicality of Shmuel. What's Orche? What's Lav Orche? Let's grant him his technicalities, which the Rambam and the Riff don't, right? But theoretically, let's grant him his technicalities. What's his main point? His main point is that when it comes to the wild animals like an Ari, If they act orche, they're patur mershus harabim. If they act lav orche, they're chayv mershus harabim. Okay, Rashi also says one is chatzines, one is nezek shalim. That's what Tosa says. That's not what Shmuel says. It's not in his words, right? This is not in his words. That if it's mashune, it becomes chatzinezek or nezek shalim. He doesn't discuss that. What is in his words is Rishus Arabim. So what is the Chiddush of Shmuel? What is the longish Chiddush of Shmuel? Not the technical Chiddush of Shmuel, right? What is the Chidusho Shel Shmuel? Right? Bimishor Ha'ekroni, right? Fundamentally, what's Shmuel's Chiddush? I know technically his Chiddush, the Arish Atarfa Achel is Lav Orche, which is super Dachuk. But what's his fundamental Chiddush? His fundamental Chiddush is this, is that Ari Shehizik Kidarko Potter Birshus Arabim Kimo Potter Birshus Arabim Midin Shane Birshus Arabim. That's his main Chiddush, right?
Yeah.
Potter Birshus Arabim Din Shane Birshus Arabim. Now, what bothers some of the Mefarshim? Especially the Yamshel Shlomo here, right? What bothers the Yamshel Shlomo? What bothers the Yamshel Shlomo is, hold on a second, what's the Svara? I understand the Svara to patter. I understand the Svara to patter Shein Varegel of oxen versus Rabim, or of sheep versus Rabim, or goats, or cats, or dogs, because you have to use your Shasarabim. You have the right to use your Shasarabim the normal way. How are you going to get your sheep someplace? You bring them through your Shasarabim, and when you bring them through your Shasarabim, they act normal. We can't fault you for normal use of your Shasarabim. But, excuse my language, what the heck are you doing bringing a lion, you know, onto, you know, Rachel Strauss, you know, or a snake on, you know, on Rachel Bite? Right? You're not supposed to be bringing these things in Rosh Hashanah. They don't belong in the Yishuv, right? It makes the you. How can you say you have the right to normal use of Rosh Hashanah? That's what bothered the Yamshel Shlomo immensely. Again, where did the Yamshel Shlomo get the idea? He got the idea. Remember, we spent a lot of time discussing this. But for the Pshat of the Rambam and the Rif, who said the reason Shein V'Regel is Patur Shel Rabim, says the Rambam, someplace here. Because you have every right to have a normal use of the street. And likewise, said the Rif. And remember, the Rush also is like this in the Rif, although we pointed out it's not 100% clear if he agrees with the Rif or not. But said the Rif at the very beginning of the Masechet. Remember what he said? Okay, Mishom D'Archayuhu. Okay, which the Rush understood. Meaning your normal use of the street. So here's the question. The question of the Yamshel Shlomo is, that the Rambam and the Rif, kidabir harosh bedaito, right? The Rambam and the Rif, as the Rush explains, Pirshu Svaras Petor Shein Varegel Mishum Sheyeshlo Rishus Lishtamesh Birshus Harabim Kidarko, right? But that's not shy to a lion. What? How could any normal person think that it's normal and you have every right to bring lions into the street? I mean, I don't think it's because, you know, we're modern in the 21st century. You know, everyone always knew you can't bring lions in the street, right? That's ridiculous. Right? Vahare ein lo rishos laholich chayos raos rishos harabim. That's the Yamshel Shlomo's question. How do you answer this question? So, there are four ways to answer this question. One way to answer the question of the Yamshel Shlomo. What does the Yamshel Shlomo say? He says, Gzeiros HaKos of low plug, right? I don't know if he used the word low plug or not, but he says, basically, if everyone was bringing lines in the street all the time, my answer wouldn't work. This is an exceedingly rare case. It never happens. Happens 0.001% of the time. And the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that the rules of the Torah, okay, I know someone's going to call me a kofer if they hear this on YU Torah. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, the rules of the Torah are not always logical or beneficial. The rules of the Torah are given to be beneficial al pi rov in the normal cases. And it's worth making a law, says the Rambam in legal philosophy, it's worth making a law that's beneficial 99.9% of the time, even if it's detrimental or harmful or counterproductive 0.1% of the time. Because that's the way legal systems work. No law can cover every case. You want to make laws that'll mostly work. And if sometimes they backfire, that's okay. It's a reasonable price to pay. Okay, we would all agree to him in Stam if we're in law school. Some people might say, no, the laws of the Torah are transcendent wisdom, which are beyond this. Says, well, no, the laws of the Torah also follow the regular rules of philosophy of law. And they have to make sense usually. And if sometimes they make no sense and they're wrong, they lead to a wrong result, that's okay, that's the way legal systems work. So the Yamsha Shlomo says, that's the case here. 99.9% of the time, you bring normal animals in the street, and then the Svara makes sense. Of course the Svara doesn't make sense as applied to wild animals, but the Torah had to give a normal rule. And go figure, what animal is a wild animal? You can't start making exceptions for every case. It's better to have a normal rule, so low plug. So that's one answer. So what are the answers? Here, let me just think. One answer is... One answer is the Yamsha Shlomo. What did the Yamsha Shlomo do? He accepts the premises of the question. And the answer is low plug. You're right, it makes no sense, but low plug.
Didn't we have back that, when we're talking about a person, that he has the benefits of the Yarshim and going to claim what he can, when we said it's lo nichol, yeah, it's usually for my benefit, it's not for my benefit, so even though...
But that's only if they're coming to Rabbanan.
Okay,
what's another answer? Another answer is what the Gilyon Tosfos says. What did the Gilyon Tosfos say? And here we're going to chazer that whole sugya, but without the details. He denies the premise of Svaras Tor Shein V'Regel B'Shut HaRabim. You think the Svaras Tor Shein V'Regel B'Shut HaRabim is because the Mazik has the right to act normally. That's not the Svara. What's the Svara? No, that's not what the Gilyon Tosfos says. Okay, but the Rav's, did the Rav write the Gilyon Tosfos? I don't think so. Because not because the Mazik had the right to do it, because the Nizak should have been careful. Remember we had that Hakira?
He says no. He says Shein V'Regel Turin Bershus Harabim Mishum Shehan Nizak Hayalo Lizahir.
That's the flip side of
It's the flip side.
And
what is the Gilyon Tosfos say? Hold on a second. If I see you bringing a lion to Rosh Hashanah, since I know it's orche of a lion to be wild, I should have taken my sheep out. And if I see you bring a snake to Rosh Hashanah, I should have avoided the snake. Therefore, since it's a shormuad or tam, a shore is chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because I saw the shore. I didn't know to be careful because it usually doesn't gore. Even if it's a shore muad, I didn't know to be careful because I didn't know it was a shore muad. I don't know what every shore is, right? So if it does something which is not usual, even if it's muad, but it's not usual as far as most people know, right? It looks unusual. If it does something which is unusual for its species, then I look at it, I don't know to be careful, so it's your fault, not my fault. But if it does something usual for its species, then it's my fault because I should have been careful. And therefore, I will be Zahir, ve,
Hoel, ve Chayos, Elu, Mu'adim, Lehazik, Hayalo, Lenizak, Lizahir.
Okay, very reasonable. The only, meaning this is a two-sided Hakira. This Hakira is...
That, meaning the Svaras
Tor Shein Beregel Rishos Harabim is Mishum Rishos Hamazik, not Mishum Pshias Anizak.
Okay, he says Pshias Anizak, then he's Pshia. He just adds one assumption to everyone else who might say Pshias Anizak. He's assuming the Nizak is always in Rishos Harabim watching his stuff. Right? If I see the lion coming, I should move my sheep. If you would say, no. Who says the Nizak's always there? You could have said, you know why there's a Pshias Anizak in Rishos Harabim? You shouldn't have left a basket of food in Rishos Harabim because you knew someone would eat it.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't have to stay with it and check if a lion's coming. So he's just making one assumption. It's Pshias HaNizak if he doesn't stay with his property in Rishos Harabim, which is a Chiddush. I might say, it's Pshias HaNizak to leave a basket of food in Rishos Harabim. You know someone's going to eat it. It's Pshias HaNizak to leave a vase in Rishos Harabim. You know someone's going to step on it. It's not Pshias HaNizak to leave a sheep in Rishos Harabim and go into a store, because what's going to happen to the sheep? Right? No one steps on sheep and no one eats sheep. Right? So he's just making one assumption. What's his one assumption? One additional assumption. Additional assumption is that we expect the Nizak to stay in Rishos HaRabim with his property. Because if you assume the Nizak is allowed to leave something in Rishos HaRabim and go to a store or go to the bathroom, then he shouldn't leave a basket of food. That's Pshia. He shouldn't leave a vase. That's Pshia. But if he leaves a sheep, that's not Pshia. He didn't know a lion would come. So that's his assumption. Is Pshias HaNizak? If you assume the Nizak has to stay there the whole time and look who's coming down the street. Okay. That's the Gilyon Tosos. However, says the Rav, he says Pashati also denies the premise of the Svaras Torah Shein Varegel Bershos HaRabim. What does he say? He says, you know what? We can prove from this sugya, or let's say better, Bidas Tosos. As Tosos says, there's a difference between Rishos HaRabim and Rishos HaYachid, not just Tosos. Bidas Shmuel. Right? Equals Bidas Shmuel. He's just quoting Tosos. This part of Tosos is just quoting Shmuel. Tosos quotes on the same Dermas of Anachash. Tosos says, over me did our chayim, sham the shalom, davka berchotzer anizak, abo Rishos HaRabim, potter, abo shem Rishos HaRabim. That's Shmuel. It's not Tosas Kiddush. He says, but what does he say the Svara is? He says, Shein Varegel are Pturim Birshos HaRabim. What does the Rav say? Chaim?
Mitam Zeres HaKosov.
Mitam Zeres HaKosov Velo Svara. If it's Zeres HaKosov, then there's no Svara to be Pturim. It doesn't matter. It's Zeres HaKosov, you're Pturim Birshos HaRabim. Once you're Zeres HaKosov, you're okay. What I thought you could alternately say is, remember we had this chakir at the time, who says you need a reason to be potter versus harabim? Maybe you need a reason to be chayav. And Shein Varegel is only chayav when you invade someone's property. If you haven't invaded someone's property, there's no machayav. Meaning, the street is taka hefker. No one's doing anything wrong in the street, unless they're doing something wrong on purpose, kavanas lahazik, or unless they're doing something wrong on purpose, kavanas lahazik, or they're invading someone's property. So you could say alternatively, maybe you could say,
that's also
because. Yeah. Alternatively, correct. Or you're saying this is just adding to the roof. Yeah. Right, okay. Okay, fair enough. Right. You could, let's just say you could add, not an alternative, that fundamentally you are always potter unless you invaded. If you say you're fundamentally potter unless you invaded, then I understand why even a lion is potter versus a rabbit. He didn't invade anyone. You acted really negligently. You're not chayim for acting negligently in the street. The street is hefker. Only if you invade. Okay, that's still saying zeres hakasim. However, here's what the Rav says, that let's just take the fourth shot here. Fourth shot here is what the Rav says for the Rambam. Right? Fourth shot here is, and here's the question of, does the Rambam, here it's not clear, does the Rambam and the Rif
only disagree with the technical dochok shinu dechukei shita of Shmuel, or do they also disagree fundamentally with Shmuel? Here we're not sure. Sarachiyud, right? What are the Rambam says the Rav Didas Harambam Viharif? And what's his Chiddush? The Chiddush is Rambam disagrees not only with the technical Dochok Chiddush of Shmuel, but also fundamentally. That's the Chiddush of the Rav here. Now, when I say Chiddush of the Rav, I don't mean the Rav's the only one who thinks this, but the Rav is certainly one of the one who thinks this, right? Says the Rav, Bedas ha Rama Marif, against the Magid Mishnah. Against the Magid Mishnah. Against the Magid Mishnah. Magid Mishnah is forced against it. Says the Magid Mishnah in the Ramban, Shein b'shus harabim is potter for wild animals. What does he do? He, remember we accept the premise, deny the premises first. He, no, says the Rav. He accepts the Yamshon Shlomo's premise of Svaras Ptor Shein v'regel b'shus harabim, but denies the premise of Ari Sha'achal Kedarko Bishus Rabin Potter. Ah, Shmuel explicitly said that premise. Okay, he says the Rambam disagrees with Shmuel fundamentally, not just technically. Here's the question, right? What do I mean by this question? What I mean is Ari Vechuli Shehizik Kidarko Birshus Harabin. What's the din? Shmuel says Potter, Shein Birshus Harabin. That's what we started with, right? Top right of the board. How about the Rambam and the Rif who reject Shmuel? Who reject Shmuel? Here it depends on you. Yes, weren't the Magid Mishnah Potter? No, they accept Shmuel's longish premise that Shein Birshus Harabin is Potter of wild animals. They just disagree with the technicalities of what's normal, what's abnormal. However, says the Rav, no. They disagree with Shmuel. Now, on the one hand, this makes it more difficult, the Rambam and the Rif more difficult, or less difficult. Why do they disagree with Shmuel? Not just because they don't like his technicalities, because they have a fundamental problem with the way he looks at things. So the one that makes it easier to understand why they disagree with Shmuel, on the other hand, more difficult. What gives them the right to? But, says the Rav, they fundamentally disagree with Shmuel. Why do they fundamentally disagree with Shmuel? And he says, is it a coincidence? Who are the two Rishonim who said the Svara that you're Potter Rishus Rabin because you're Rishus to be there? The Rambam and the Rif. Who are the two Rishonim who rejected Shmuel? The Rambam and the Rif. Coincidence? Says the Magid Mishnah, yes. Says the Rav, I think not. Right? And that's exactly what he says. He says that the Rambam and the Rif mechayvim Ari Shehize Kedarko Birshus HaRabim Jelokish Shmuel. Against Shmuel, not only technically, but fundamentally against Shmuel. Why? Lishitasam. Shahare lo shayach hasvara diyesh lo rishos leholech behemto rishos harabim kedarka. Right? The svara of the Rishos HaRabim, according to the Rambam and the Rif, is that you have every right to use Rishos HaRabim normally. But this svara is not shayach to an Ari. You have no right to bring wild animals to Rishos HaRabim. Ah, Shmuel thing. I don't know about Shmuel, but we don't hold like Shmuel. We disagree with Shmuel fundamentally. And the Rambam Rif Lishitasam, if you really want to say, basically, what do we find out? We say, if you say the Torah Rishos HaRabim is Gzeiras HaKasav, I understand Shmuel. Even Gzeiras HaKasav patsu an Ari. If you say the Torah is he should have been careful, you can be nitchak to say he should have stayed in Rishos HaRabim to look who's coming and been careful. If you say the Torah is I'm acting normally, I have every right to use Rishos HaRabim this way, I have no right to bring wild animal. Either say Yamsha Shlomo lo plug, or say Anachanami. That's why we reject Shmuel. Why did the Rambam and the Rif reject Shmuel? Not just because technically Shinui Dechiti. Because fundamentally he doesn't make sense. Fundamentally it doesn't make sense. How could you have a Torah of Shein versus a Rabbin on a lion It's not normal. You have no right to bring lions in the street. You're not using the street in the normal way that you have the right to use it. It's bold to reject Shmuel for this reason, but maybe they put Shinui the Chiki together with the idea that Misvarit doesn't fit their sheet on the Petershain Rangers Rabbin, and therefore they rejected Shmuel. That's what the Rav says in the Das of the Rambam, parentheses, and the Riff.
Maybe that's exactly the point. They thought that Shmuel understood the Torah Shem Beregel
differently.
That's
correct.
Exactly.
They thought Shmuel understood the Torah Shem Beregel differently, and therefore we don't possibly understand the Torah Shem Beregel. You'd like to find another Gemara to do that chesed with, either you will or you won't. Okay, I think that is, you know, it's very bold, but it makes the most sense. Why should you be putter if your lion eats my sheep and rishos harabim? You have no rishos to do so. So you have three answers. Or just say, taka, you're not putter. Oh, what about Shmuel? Taka, we don't pass like Shmuel, v'shalom al Yisrael. Okay, there's a little more, but our time is up. So we will, okay, if we have time to be mashlim, Will Swat? Yes. In 1 second. Just next Monday, we do not have Shir because this is extra territorial American property, like the embassy. Right? The Israeli police can't come in here, only the FBI. So it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. So we don't have Shir next Monday. So the last Shir on Baba Kama, we'll finish the Perek, Mirtz Hashem, will be next Thursday.
There's no
shear
on Tuesday?
There's no shear on Tuesday, because we'll be able to finish the parak. So we'll just have one more shear in Baba Kama, which will be Thursday. Okay, if I have time to fill in the very last line from here, I will. If not, then we'll just deal with the next sugya. So one more shear in Baba Kama next Thursday, regular time of 9 o'clock. I'll send out...
Your schedule, you have 64, 65... 64 moves to Thursday.
Yeah, I put it as a suffix. I left my options open. So we'll have Shir. I will see you in a week on Thursday. I'll wish everyone a good Yontif, and I'll send out the Marmon Kodesh for Shavuos. They'll be very good for Shavuos because it's all about learning Torah next. So yeah, it's not about Ezekiel. It's about Talmud Torah. And just as long as we have our minion in the room. We'll just let Chaim say a Kaddish Darabon, he's a Yortzite. Amar Chanayim Akasha, Ratzah, Kaddish Baruch, Zach, Shol, Figa, Peril, and Torah Mitzvah, Shenemar, Adonai, Chavetz, Man, Zikko, Yagdil, Torah, V'yadir. Amen. 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 Amen.